We hear quite a lot in these days about what has become known as fake news. I think it was possibly Donald Trump who brought it very much to the fore and to our attention. Fake news, what I suppose we used to call lies, what is meant to deceive us, what is untrue. And as I've said, Donald Trump seems to use a lot of it. I suppose it's easier to point a finger at a journalist, for example, and to say that's fake news. It's easier to do that than to say you're a liar. But really, fake news is not all that new an idea. It goes back, right back, to the Garden of Eden, where God said to Adam and Eve, "On the day that you eat of this forbidden fruit, you shall surely die." And along came the great deceiver, Satan, the devil himself, and he said, "You will not die." And they believed him rather than God, and they took and they ate. And we have suffered the consequences ever since. Fake news. And then we hear a lot today about bad news. Unfortunately, most of the news that we hear on the radio and the television is not good news, it's bad news. Whether that be locally, whether it is far away, there's lots and lots of bad news. Even what was, I suppose, originally meant to be good news, the honors list, has turned out to be bad news in that details of addresses and so on of those honored have been revealed. But mass killings, hunger, volcanoes, typhoons in the Philippines, fires in Australia, and so on. Scandals among the rich and powerful, the persecution of Christians over Christmas. Bad and sad news indeed. This morning, I'm sure some of you have anticipated this. I want to share with you some good news. Good news that is factual, that is trustworthy. We read of this good news in 1 Timothy 1:15. Where the apostle writing to young Timothy actually uses the word trustworthy. 1 Timothy 1:15, this saying is trustworthy. It's not fake. It's not even bad news. It's deserving of your acceptance. And it's this, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Some will find that similar to what the Lord Jesus himself said in Luke 19. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And these are the words that I want to plant in your mind and in your heart at this time of the year. Jesus came into this world to save sinners. This answers a number of questions. Questions about Jesus and about his mission. To help you to remember it, I want to give you three familiar words I heard, by the way, quite recently of a Puritan preacher who preached a sermon with 32 points to it. His congregation was not impressed and told him so. So the next Sunday he stood up and he remarked about this and he said, "For your comfort, my sermon this morning will be pointless." There are extremes that we need to avoid, and I do that in the traditional three-pointer, three simple words that answer three questions that are posed by these words of Paul to Timothy. They are the words, where, why, and who. Where did Jesus come from? And where did he come to? First of all, where did he come from? We're not told in this verse, but in other parts of the Bible, we're made aware that he came from heaven. He came from the glory, as the old Negro spiritual puts it. "From heaven you came, helpless babe," is the more modern version. But friends, even better than any of the words that we sing are the words of Jesus himself in the upper room. The night before he was crucified, and John, who heard the words, records them in John 17. These are the words of Jesus as he prayed, "Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world existed." So where did Jesus come from? He came from the glory and the splendor of heaven that he had shared with his Father God, from a perfect place. There's no sin in heaven. From a place of utter happiness and joy, there is no pain, no sickness, no death in heaven. And Jesus gave up all of that to come to this earth. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, "Though he was rich, yet for our sakes, he became poor." I have a feeling that as Christians, we will not appreciate all that Jesus gave up and all that he left behind until we are in heaven itself. And I can imagine us turning to him in amazement and saying, "Lord Jesus, you gave up all of this for me." He left the glory and the splendor of heaven. But where did he come to? Our text tells us he came into this world, to no other planet but this earth in which you and I live. I read this some time ago, and you need to think about it. It's this: the surest sign that there is intelligent life on other planets is that they haven't made contact with us here on earth. But Jesus has made contact with this world of sin and of suffering and of shame. And he came not to a palace, but to a dirty, smelly outhouse where animals slept. From such a high and holy place, down to such a lowly sinful place. C.S. Lewis put it this way, God has entered enemy-occupied world in human form. I gather that there is presently a space rocket on a mission from Earth to Mars. And on it, there is a robot. Paul reminds us that God loved us so much that he sent not a robot, but he sent his only son into this world. The second question is, why? Why did Jesus come from the glory and the splendor of heaven down to this sinful, sick world? Why? It was to save. That's why he was called Jesus. You remember Matthew 1:21. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Let me spell that out a little this morning. He came to rescue those that are lost. You remember the words of Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way. And Jesus has come to rescue us. In his own words, he had come to seek and to save that which is lost. You know, if all the words that are used to describe those outside of faith in Christ, this surely is the most haunting and the most frightening. Without Christ, we are lost. Without hope in this life, or certainly in the life to come. If you have never been found by Jesus, if you have never been saved from the awful consequences of your sin, then you are lost. You are lost. But friends, the good news of the gospel is this, that Jesus came into this world to save the lost. That's why he was prepared to leave the glory and the splendor. He came to seek and to save the lost. And that's what makes the gospel message good news. Even for the worst of sinners, there is hope. Jesus came to rescue those that are lost. But he also came to redeem those who were trapped in sin. Sin is like a sort of spider's web. Whoever commits sin becomes its slave. And we need to be set free. We need to be redeemed. We need to be saved. Someone has expressed it this way. For every other job, God sent a man. But in order to rescue and to redeem us, God became a man. That's why he left the glory and the splendor and the perfection of heaven. That's why he came down to Bethlehem. That's why he suffered, he bled, and died in Jerusalem. It was to rescue the perishing, to set free all those who were subject to a lifetime in bondage. As Charles Wesley puts it, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. Where he came from, where he came to, and why he came at all. And finally, who? Who did Jesus come into the world to save? And the answer is simple. Sinners. Sinners. Let me just say a couple of things as I close. Some people think that they are not too sinful. And maybe compared with others, that is maybe has got a semblance of truth. Some sins are more sinful than others. But if you say that you are not a sinner, you are in effect saying that you do not need Jesus. You might even be daring enough to say to his face, you needn't have come from heaven down to earth to save me. You didn't need to do that for me. Could anyone dream of saying that? Did anyone think like that? The Bible screams at you. In 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Romans 3 says that we have all sinned. We have all fallen short. There are none who are righteous, not even one. And our catechism bears that out. No mere man since the fall is able perfectly in this life to keep the commandments of God, but doth daily break them in thought, in word, and in deed. You see, that's the bad news. But the good news, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Both down and out sinners and up and out sinners. He came to seek and to save the lost. But then there are some people who simply prefer their lives as they are and prefer their sin to Jesus. They're a bit like, remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus? A young man, rich, respected, religious. He was a ruler in the synagogue, morally upright. And Jesus set out the conditions for eternal life. And this young man weighed them up and he said, no, that's all right for some, but that's not for me. And we are told in the Bible story that he went away sorrowful. And Jesus let him go. He didn't run after him. He didn't say, now hold on, well, let's strike a bargain here. Jesus let him go. And today, if there's anyone here this morning and you're outside of faith in Christ and you've come to see by the Spirit that you are lost, but you've also come to see that Jesus loves you, that he bled and died on the cross to save you, and you're thinking about it, but you'll leave church this morning and you'll not do anything about it. And Jesus will let you go. But friends, if you're honest enough to admit that you're a sinner, and you don't have to pretend that you're any worse than you really are, just be honest. If you're prepared for that, then the good news is that Jesus is here this morning by His Spirit, and He will save you from the terrible consequences of your sin. And so this morning, if there's anyone here, and up until now you've never done it, well then, why not? Why not now? Just quietly, in your own church, open your heart and your life to the Savior who was born for your salvation and who was prepared to bleed and die on the cross to secure it for you. Here's a memory verse for today, the rest of your life. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus loves me that much. Let's pray. We can never thank you enough, Lord Jesus, for being prepared to leave the glory and the splendor of heaven, to come down into this world, and to bleed and die on the cross for us. Grant that your Spirit might apply this truth to every heart, and that those who up until now have never received Christ as Savior and Lord, that today might even be the day when they will pass from death unto life. Bless your word to us, we ask of you in Jesus' name. Amen.